You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zegura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And we are going to go back to the podium now to hear from special teams coordinator Chris Tabor.
Obviously, what happened the other night, Monday Night Football, we didn't play well in our area. And I take responsibility for that. Got to do a better job of getting the guys to play better. And, you know, that's what we're working on right now. We've already moved on to Cincinnati. We don't have time to lick our wounds or sulk. That does no good. We're preparing hard because Cincinnati is an awful good special teams unit, and we need to play better. So we're looking forward to the next opportunity. And with that, I'll answer any questions.
Hey, Chris, on the last kicker, it did look low. Mm-hmm. They obviously got some penetration. Was that kind of the perfect mix there?
Yeah, no. I thought the kick was low, and the guy that got his hand on, he just put his hand up. And obviously got a piece of the ball, and then what took place after that is it was unfortunate. I mean, it was terrible. Unfortunate is not really. I mean, I can't even describe really what it was. But that's what happened, and we got to do a better job.
Is there anything? I think you had two rookies there. I think on the left side next to each other. Does that anything into it that these guys are
not at all. Those guys have been playing there the entire season, and we've been number one in the league in field goal percentage the entire season. Our field goal kicker is, I think he set an NFL record for the most consecutive kicks. It was an unfortunate kick. I mean, it was just low. That happens. You know, we got to do a better job there.
Any sense whether it would have been good?
I have no idea. You have seven active offensive linemen up, and we just felt at the time, I shouldn't say at the time, I haven't used those guys all year, and typically you do not use your center. We have here in the past, Alex, both and Joe, they're both very good. They do a good job, but we have other guys that have been getting the job done the entire season. I will tell you this: it was a misfortunate event, obviously. But for me to sit up here and say, we'll hit the panic button, not going to happen. You don't go from number one in the league and have an unfortunate event and say, we need to revamp everything. What we need to do, Chris Tabor needs to coach him better, and that's what we're going to do.
Is there such a thing as really, I mean, you hear the phrase all the time, how picking your coverage, like on the punt, it seemed like he just boomed it way down there, or is it just that your guys have to make the tackle right at the point of the...
We need. Obviously, we didn't do a good job covering that kick. It went 62 yards. The location was great. It was at 4-9, and that he gives us that type of hang time. We have to get down there and cover that. That was not on the punter. That was on our coverage unit. We've watched that, addressed that, and we need to clean up those fundamentals. We'll work that stuff today, and because coming into this game, I mean, they have Pac-Man Jones and Tate, and these guys can go the distance also. So we have our work cut out for us. So we better fix it fast. You're on the fringe field goal right there. I mean, woulda, coulda, shouldas, something that you address. It's tough. There's really only one guy that's going to be able to see it, probably is the wing. The tight end, as he's there, he's not periphing on the outside. His eyes, as he's in his stance, he's periphing inside to the ball because obviously he's not going to hear the count and he has to go on the movement of the football. So he's not going to see that on the outside there. Yes, correct.
I'm assuming that's an impossible thing to a block field goal to actual practice. Mike was talking about the other day, you really got a bunch of jumbo guys out there, so it's not like those guys can really track. Is that something you've ever, like, try to practice, or just it's too difficult to simulate?
It's tough to simulate. You practice the coverage part, like on a long field goal, for example, a year ago when we played Atlanta, and we tried the one right there for the end of half, and Devin and got it and took off. It is. That's the hard part about that play is you have to have the big guys up there for protection first, and then you like to say, well, you have a couple guys that can be able to run and chase it down if something bad happens, and that's where Dre and Armani are. Those are those two guys, because your wings still need to have length, and because they still have to widen the edge with their alignments and their length. So the other thing is, obviously, because as those guys scream around the corner, you know, snap, hold, kick, the operation kind of handles, helps them with their blocking because they get the ball off so fast.
He's on a kick protect, and so he's got the action coming at him. It's polar opposites there. So how challenging is it to coach a young player like that has to deal with that?
I don't think it's that hard, to be quite honest with you. He's a good football player. You're teaching the fundamentals of the game. I think what you're teaching him essentially offensively in the field goal area can help him in the field goal block, because now he's understanding both sides of it. I can tell you he's not the only defensive player that in the league that's on field goal protection. I mean, this weekend you'll see number 94 for the Cincinnati Bengals, Pico, on their field goal team. He's a big wide body, and what that helps you is helps widen the edge also, because obviously now the tackle's getting his alignment off the guard and those type of things, so you're looking for those big wide bodies. But he's done a nice job this year, and actually on that play I thought he did pretty good, to be quite honest with you.
Hey, Chris, is that the toughest game you've been a part of from a special teams perspective?
I've had a lot, to be honest with you. But I will say this. When you're in this game long enough, and I hope that I continue to be in it for a while, is you're going to experience things that don't always happen. I mean, you know, you have to kind of almost put it in the book of, is it Alabama, Auburn? Is it Michigan State? I mean, it's kind of a freak thing. That's never happened to me before. I have experienced some things that you're like, whoa, I can't believe that just happened. But here's how we're approaching it. It was a terrible event that took place. And I look at it like this. We sustained a huge wound. And when you get a wound, you go back home, you bandage it up, and you want that thing to heal. And when it heals, it's going to form a scar. And every time you look at that scar, you're going to say, you know what? That scar is going to make me better, because I remember what happened. I need to coach better. I need to play better, and that's how we're approaching it, going into Cincinnati right here. We got to clean up some things, and every time we look at this scar, it hurts. There's no doubt it hurts, and you remember it, but you can either sulk about it, it's going to get worse, or you say, you know what? I remember it. We'll move on, and we'll attack this next game, and that's our mentality and our unit for this next one.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a black, and we're going to overtime, and all of a sudden, Hill's running down the sideline.
Yeah, I didn't process the information like that. I processed, you know, block, let's get him. You know, where's the ball at? I'm standing on the sideline. I couldn't really see. I saw, you know, obviously on the tape that, you know, Will Hill is basically backing off in a safe look. He's just kind of standing there, and it takes one basketball bounce right to him, as opposed to some of the tape that I've watched. You know, Cincinnati's given up a couple blocks, and the ball's bouncing all over the place. You know, it was perfect storm, but we didn't help ourselves, and that's on myself to get a coach better. I don't think so. I mean, they didn't call it, so I assume that he didn't. I will tell you this: the play is over to us. And I don't mean that. I just it's over, and I don't talk about it. We got to move on and go, because if we live in the past, it's going to affect us in the future.
What's the coaching point for Travis Coons on kickoffs? He had one go out of bounds.
Just a little too aggressive with his line right there. You know, and he was a little outside in on the ball, and got that thing pulled left. We were directional kicking, you know, Baltimore. Ended up putting two returners back there because Travis has done a nice job of moving the ball, and he just got around it a little bit too much there, and obviously that's something that can't happen.
Terrell Pryor's back with the team. We saw him in that very limited preseason action serve as a personal protector. Is that something you like to?
Oh yeah, no. You want to always expand on that. I will say this: in my world, as the roster is always fluid, you have to define what a player's talents are. Don't put him in a box and limit the player. And then if you think that he can do something, experiment with him and see if he can handle it. And Terrell, that's what we were doing with him. And we'll now that he's back, we'll begin to reopen all those things and revisit. Well, it just gives you the threat of, obviously him being a former quarterback, a lot of fake possibilities. What's it do to the return team? Are they playing a little bit safer? It's like playing St. Louis. When you play the St. Louis Rams, you are in a little bit more of a safe mode just because of the punter is essentially the third-string quarterback, and it just kind of puts you on your heels a little bit. So, and then in my world, that's being aggressive, and you're being aggressive with your personnel.
That's Browns special teams coordinator Chris Tabor definitely facing the music there after what happened on Monday Night Football against the Ravens. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls, get your reaction to that. Still to come at 2:30, Browns offensive coordinator John DeFilippo here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.